Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa, and on this podcast, we focus on wellness, beauty, style, planning, and life. Basically, life is messy, and here we learn to live well anyway. So join me on this journey as we figure it out together. And just to get us started, I'll go first. And today, I am going first with my very good friend, Katie Duckett, as we dive into how to survive the doldrums of the end of winter, when you just want spring to be here so badly, and then you get a snowstorm, like we did this week, which was just really, really special to wake up to. You know, you feel like you're right on the cusp of there being green and flowers, and it just really dashed a lot of those hopes this past Monday. So we know that this tends to be one of our hardest seasons of the year, where we are making that final push through the end of winter into spring, especially living in the Pacific Northwest, so probably more so here than for a lot of places in the country. But we just wanted to kind of give our best tips for how we get through it. And I was delighted to hear some of the things that Katie does that I had no idea were even a thing for her. Like specific dates where she changes things up. And it's so much fun to hear the things that she does on a whole different level. Like, I'm the planning friend, but she has these like marker posts in her life of these things that she does that never fail to amaze me and inspire. And so I think it's a really fun episode. It went much further than I expected it to, or she expected it to, honestly. So we had a ton of fun, and we hope that you are really going to enjoy this conversation. But first, you guys, I have a little bit of an announcement. So we're heading into March next week. Can you even believe it? And I am finally buckling down, doing something that I've been talking about for a long while, been wanting to do for a long while, but just been held up on and frustrated by. But I'm recruiting my son to come in as my editor and producer, and I am finally getting down and dirty with my YouTube channel. So even putting this out here right now is like my commitment to there being content on the YouTube channel in the month of March. I actually took sticky notes to my closet doors this past weekend, and I planned out all of March, all of everything. And that's some of the sort of content that you're going to be able to find there. We're going to talk about planning things and how I plan things and when I use digital planning and when I use paper planning. And we're going to talk about beauty products, and we're going to talk about feminine stuff and cycles. And we're going to talk about all kinds of life things, from wellness to beauty to planning to all the kinds of things that you find here, but in a visual format. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it. And so, as we prepare for this sort of, I'm not even going to call it a relaunch. Really, what I'm trying to do when I start these videos is just pretend like I've been doing it all along. I don't want to do any big introductions or why I'm coming on YouTube. I just want to kind of get into the flow and make it a habit and start doing it, so you can find me over there. If you go to youtube.com/MackenzieCoppa, it will take you straight to my channel. You'll see me plastered all over it. And I would just absolutely love if you would head over there and you would subscribe. I am like less than 200 people away from hitting 1,000 followers on YouTube, which would just really help to boost the opportunities with the channel and all kinds of things. If we could hit that number, it would be completely amazing. But my goal that I'm working towards is going to be 2 videos a week. So there's going to be an initial like main topic video that will be coming out on Tuesdays. That's the goal. And then on Fridays, I'm going to be doing my wrap-up videos, which will also coincide with the newsletter. So these are going to be things like what I've been reading, what I've been watching, what I'm doing for my wellness, my favorite makeup products that I've been currently using. All of that kind of stuff is going to come out on Fridays. So that's kind of the basis of what you can be expecting over there again at youtube.com/MackenzieCoppa. I would so love if you would come and comment and subscribe and turn on notifications and tell your friends about it. And let's like build a community continuing off of what we have here at the podcast onto the YouTube. It's going to be fun, I think. So come join me over there. I'm really putting myself out there. So I'd really appreciate the support if you come over to youtube.com/MackenzieCoppa. All right. But without further ado, let's get on with this conversation with my very good friend, Katie Duckett, all about how to survive the rest of winter. Welcome back, Katie.
Hi.
We made it all the way to the end of February before having you on again. For a while there, you were like, I'm on like every week. I was like, but people love you. But
I'm glad there was a little break.
I know. Well, especially because we kind of sometimes get to these shows where we're like, but wait, haven't we like talked about all this stuff? So now I feel like, I mean, as I was coming up with things, I feel like I have a little bit of a stockpile of stuff to talk about, especially, I mean, I know this episode is coming out towards the end of February, but February is like a rough month, I think, for a lot of people. You've like just hit halfway through the school year, and like where we live, it's dreary most of the time. Mm-hmm. You're over the high from New Year's. It just, I don't know. It just feels hard. Hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I had some even just like big hopes, like, okay, I'm going to hit February and everything that I didn't manage to do in January with my goals, I'm going to pick back up in February and I'm going to have all this energy. And so far that's not been the case.
Shoot.
Like, I think I even told you this morning, like my current outfit, which consists of actually some sweatpants that I want to talk about today and a very large oversized sweatshirt and a beanie. I have like no aspirations to wear anything other than that currently. And, you know, that's, I think that's a real picture of February.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I am going to want to talk about is like cozy and just trying to be that cozy in every area. And this is just kind of a long march until our days are longer, our mornings are earlier, and you have that natural energy that comes from like literally vitamin D coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we live. I know there's some southern states that something about the sun has to get past a certain mark to even produce vitamin D, and we, the northern part of the United States, it doesn't. So no. We really don't have vitamin D, which is an essential thing your body needs.
Which I am taking in boatloads, but it's different. And it's like, you don't get that same, just having that kind of light, you know, that you're exposed to, it produces a different, I think, energy. I think it changes your sleep. I mean, there's just so many things about it. But even like as our days like mildly creep longer right now, it's like, oh, look, guys, it's 5 o'clock and it's not pitch black. Like, we're getting there. But it's just like this dreariness. And I like how you said cozy, because I think sometimes we get to this point in the year and we're not really so focused on still pressing into the cozy, because like in the fall, it's like, ooh, it's dark and moody and let's get our lighting and our hygge and we're like gearing up for the holidays. And it's sort of like magical. And now by this point in the year, it's just like, I'm tired. This is hard.
it's dark and I'm cold.
Yeah. And you kind of have to dig deeper to find the cozy. And I have some tricks, some things that I do that I don't bust out until late January, February, that do help, that do seem to help me sink back in. Cause I do this a lot where like the twinkle lights come out October 1st. Like
yeah.
I just start kind of this routine. They go away April 1st, you know, like I give myself that buffer and I kind of follow those little rules, but then I need something mid to end of January, February. March is my worst. March is when I'm completely out of energy, ideas, and let's just get this over with. Like, let's get to spring. You're so close, but it's still
Well, and I think it's kind of like deceptive because all the marketing by March, all of the stuff you're seeing on social media and everything, like everybody else seems to be like, hey, it's spring. Like, yeah, they're bringing out everything for Easter and, you know, and it's like, but it's still freezing here and wet and dreary. So yeah. So this is, I guess, good timing because this episode is coming out, you know, end of February. Everybody's tired and cold and we need some new life, like breathing into March. So I, you know, of course I know about your twinkle lights. I'm very aware of your twinkle lights. I did not know that you had such a set schedule of October 1st and April 1st. I didn't know that was a thing, but I'm so happy to know it now. I think that's like your one wing coming in.
Maybe.
Yeah. But so I am curious, like what is on this list? What do you bring out?
Okay. Well, this is really getting personal, but I am going to tell you one thing I do is I have this sounds, I've never said this to another person before.
Oh my God.
Let alone on air, but this is something that I do. Okay. So I have a different set of slippers. I have one set of slippers.
No, you've told me this.
Oh, no, no, you don't know this. So I have like open-toed ones that I wear during, you know, from from April, the end of September.
You have flip-flop slippers that I still fail to understand, but they work for you. And so I'm supportive.
They're cozy, but I can still see my toes. Yes. And then October through January, I have ones that I wear. Then mid-January through the end of March, I go up a size and I turn to my barefoot dream socks. So I wear with my slipper. The socks are so cozy, but I have to have a slipper. And so this is how I've done it. I don't turn
to so niche.
But I literally do this and it makes me excited. I start thinking about the sock slipper combo.
Oh my gosh.
You know, in January, we're like, nope, not till the end. I'm going to make it because I need like a punch. I need something to look forward to, something that's cozy that only comes out for that certain set of time. And that's kind of,
oh my gosh.
I know.
I love it. I love it. That is so like, so very specific. I mean,
it
I feel
really
like
is. It really could, is
like how they always talk about like nicheifying your content. I mean, what if that was a whole, you know, there's a whole podcast devoted to niche cozy,
right? Cozy is a passion of mine and it is something that I have to plan for. It doesn't happen. There are certain blankets, like my Barefoot Dreams blankets. Those only come out in that time period because they're the coziest. And so I save them for that time when I really need that.
That is such self-control. I'm so impressed.
It helps me because then I can kind of like give myself these little wins, little things to look forward to that honestly, nobody else has ever known about, but now people know about.
Now thousands of people know, but I think that's a good thing. But I mean, going into this podcast, we were both like, what are we even going to talk about? And now I've been flabbergasted but such a good way because I would have never planned for this like set of time. Like, okay, between here and here, what can I do to amp things up? I just kind of like, I have my little things that I'm like, okay, these are, and we'll talk about them today, these are the little things that get me through, but nothing that I consistently look forward to every year that I've like planned for and been like, this is how you're gonna press into that time and be okay. And I think that's brilliant.
Well, it comes out of every single year I struggle from January to especially March.
Yeah.
I've said it before, March is my hardest. And so I have little wins for myself in March that are only for March. And that really helps. So this January, February to March time period, it's a known thing that it's hard in homeschooling. It's
yeah.
Your mid-year, it's not new and fresh. You're not anywhere near the end. And it's like the buckle down time. And so we have to have snacks we look forward to, hot chocolate we look forward to, things that only come out in that time period that you can at least get excited about this. You know, so for me, it's just kind of survival. Like, we've got to make it through that little end of winter before spring really hits.
Yeah.
Because once spring hits, you don't need any help. Like, the birds are coming, the flowers are coming up. You can't help, but you've got to get outside and enjoy.
Yeah.
But this time period, it needs a boost.
Yes. Well, that's for sure. So what snacks?
Well, I do a lot more baking. So, I mean, like the brownies for homeschool days, like normally I would maybe bake a batch of brownies, like if I needed them for an event or for something, but I do a whole lot more baking that's just specific for, we're going to need this during the week. So just, you know, more baking, cinnamon rolls. I do a whole lot more like freezer burritos and egg McMuffins and stuff that they can heat up that just helps in the morning. So I do a little bit more batch cooking in preparation for it. My slow cooker is almost always on my counter during the winter months, where in the spring and summer, it's only if I need it, you know, but
yeah,
during those months, it's always there. So overnight oatmeal, I usually do not make breakfast for my kids. I should just say, I probably said that before, but during these months I do. It'll be like waffles, sausage, you know, I try to give them a little bit more to look forward to, because it's dark. Some of them come home and it's dark. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of, I just think we need boosts where we can. I try to celebrate every little thing. Now, January through March, there are a lot of celebrations and you
can
seize them. I mean, beyond Valentine's Day, you've got President's Day, you've got the 100th day of school. There's like, last week was National Pizza Day. I mean, there's all sorts of things. If you are looking for something to celebrate, it's there, but you can very easily find things, and you must look, because it's not coming naturally. But yesterday, one of my sons took a test, an algebra test, and he did really well. So we celebrated last night. I made cookies. We all talked. You know, I have to look hard for where's a win. What can we celebrate? How can we like use food or energy, or how can we make it happen? Because it's just not coming naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just like this sense of exhaustion, I think, and fatigue by this point in the year, where it's a lot easier to be like, I'm going to take a nap than I'm going to like press in and try to find something to celebrate. Or, you know, I definitely think that's a thing. And I think that maybe right now, and maybe this is indicative of how tired this part of this year makes me, but I'm usually such a planner, but it sounds like we almost sort of flip-flop roles in this season. Like, you plan, you prepare, you're thinking of all of the, you know, National Pizza Day and whatnot. And I think I'm a little bit more fly by the seat of my pants during this, like, oh, we're going to have charcuterie tonight. out of the blue a little bit, but like anything that kind of changes things up and isn't like what we normally would do. And I think it's sort of helpful. We did that 2 weeks ago, I guess. I was like, I really don't want to cook. So, hey guys, we got to go to the store anyway. We don't have any food. Let's go and like get some stuff for a little charcuterie. We'd never done that before. And I made Roman go in the store with me, and he was just like tired, you know, basketball had been taking it out of him. And he was so funny, because we went over to the cheese section, which is really quite a section at our store. And I was really taking my sweet time. And he was like, huh, well, I think if I had known we were going to stand before the cheese section for like a good 20 minutes, I maybe wouldn't have come in. Like, I'm so sorry, but you could contribute, you know, I mean, look at this brie. And he was just like, I don't care. Just put it in front of me. But it was so fun. And when we got home that night and I was kind of getting it all out, Ellie was just so funny. And this like, so speaks to the four that I think she is, but I hadn't thought about it in a long time, but I had like this turquoise cake plate and she remembered that and was like, so, you know, that thing, that little like platter in the cupboard, do you think that you could like use that to make this more pretty? And I was like, sure I can. And so we ended up having it actually be like kind of a fun little display, and we used like party plates that we had just like stored away, and it was just this very last minute thing, but it ended up being so much fun. And yeah,
so
I think you got to just take advantage of any little inspiration that you have. And I find I do a better job of like in the moment. I don't know if I had planned like, oh, in a week we're going to do it, if by then I would have felt like I had the gumption to do it. You would have
maybe just been too tired to do it, or
yeah,
I get that. So I leave a lot of little things like cute muffin liners or something from a party, or like I leave a lot of that in the pantry in my line of sight, like if somebody gets home and wants a snack, and just to put it in there.
Oh, yeah.
To try to celebrate any little opportunity. I don't want my kids to always have like memories of these 3 months and feel like,
yeah.
I want them to know that like I put in effort, and what I need to put in effort is for like, I need the cozy blankets. I need the stuff on eye level. It can't be hard. It just
yeah.
be already planned for, ready to go, makes it easier. I just grab it and I'm already in motion of
yeah.
making something feel a little more special. But yeah, I don't have the energy to create it, or, you know, whereas yeah. in summer, it's just so much easier. You're just already happier.
And yeah. well, and even over the holidays where it's like, you know, that's like, that's kind of the expectation, and you're trying to make a little bit of magic and like do that kind of thing. I don't know. There's just something about this time of the year when sort of the excitement is over, and yeah. it's just like, you just got to press through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Ladies, I think there's one simple switch out that we can be doing for our families to almost immediately be improving health, and that is what cookware we are using. And recently, I have been so excited to be using Caraway's cookware line. I have their skillet and their Dutch oven, and I can't say enough good things about it. They are beautiful. I got them in the cream color, which perfectly fits my vibe, the whole neutral thing. They are just gorgeous. They came packaged beautifully. And better than any of that, they are non-toxic. Caraway Home's non-toxic cookware and bakeware collections ditch the chemicals so that you can make healthier cooking a piece of cake. Caraway Home's non-toxic kitchenwares are all designed for the modern home and feature a chemical-free ceramic coating so food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard to pronounce compound will leach into your healthy ingredients. Plus, because of the ceramic's naturally slick surface, it means that you use minimal oil or butter for slide off the pan eggs and easy cleaning. You know, this is always something that really gets to me. I don't want cookware that is tough to use and tough to clean, but that is just not the case with Caraway. I can have all of my fears put at ease, plus have a really functional, beautiful, easy to use piece that cooks things really nicely and then cleans up in no time. And all the sets come equipped with easy to access storage solutions so that no stacking is required. Gone are the days of misplacing your lids. They've come at it from this really modern perspective too, like their cookware set. It's a modern and chemical-free iteration of the traditional 16-piece set, boiled down to four essentials: a fry pan, saute pan, saucepan, and a Dutch oven. And their bakeware set is an assortment of the non-toxic baking essentials that every modern kitchen needs, so you can get to baking goods without any of the bads. Caraway is thoughtful and eco-friendly throughout their manufacturing process,
process and they are well loved. There's over 25,000 people who have raved about their Caraway kitchen. Now it's time to try it for yourself and love it as much as I do. Visit carawayhome.com/livewell to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for my listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/livewell to use my code LIVEWELL at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Now, where do I go? Well, I think that one of the things that I definitely have found I've gotten the itch for now is like all the plants and all the flowers. It's like, this is the point in the year where we're not there yet outside in any way, but all of the holiday decor has been taken down. Things sort of look the same, and any way that I can like breathe life into our space again through that, I'm just all in for. So, you know, some of my plants have died off through the winter and I know that I need to, you know, replace. And there, so there's like some things I have my eye on with that, but it's kind of like every time I go to Trader Joe's, now is the time of year where I'm like, I'm going to spend that few extra dollars on the daffodils and the eucalyptus. And if they have plants, I might snag one or two. And it's just like, not feeling bad about it, not feeling like it's a waste, but it breathes such life into our space to have those things. Yeah.
Absolutely necessary. That maidenhair fern that I found a couple days ago, I cannot keep them alive.
Me either.
They're beautiful, but I have not figured them out. And I just think of it as like a cut flower cost. Like, okay, it's going to last as long as like cut flowers, maybe a little longer. It's so worth it through just to have that gorgeous thing to see every time I turn the corner, the green, the life. It just kind of dances because it's so airy and so sprawling that when anybody walks by, like the air moves and it just sort of, it's like a breeze in the trees outside. It just, that is so worth it, even if it's coming to a sad death at my house.
I know.
It adds so much. So every time I see those, I definitely buy them, even though I really shouldn't because I can't keep them alive. If you just give yourself license in the winter.
Like, yeah.
You need this. You need this, even if it's not going to survive.
Yes. Well, and I loved when you said that because when you showed me on Marco Polo, look what I just got. My immediate thought was like, I would kill that. Mm-hmm. And then when you were like, and I know I'm going to kill it, I was like, oh, even Katie kills those. Like, oh, I feel so, so much better.
If anybody knows how to keep them alive, I would love for you to type in or put something on our
Instagram. Share the love. Tell us what to do.
I spent 10 minutes talking to the floral lady about them because she was bringing them out of this box. They had just come in and they were just, they're just so show-stopping. And she said that she has a hard time keeping them alive.
Well, there you go.
So that was some encouragement. And she said she waters them a little bit every day. She doesn't put it in the sink and like soak it. It's just a little bit on the top every day. You want the So, I mean, there's methods to it. I don't feel like I have time to take on something so fussy when I have five fussy kids, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, I can't, this isn't the season, but it's still worth it to bring it in. I just give myself that license in the winter. I buy cut flowers in the winter, where summer I'm going to pick them from what I'm growing, or I'll feel guilty if I am growing some, but in the winter, all bets are off.
Yeah. And it's so easy. Like it's such a low point of entry at Trader Joe's to just like grab stuff. And especially with the daffodils right now, cause they're like, you know, $2 for a bunch and they just add this little like pop. And I'm really enjoying having that. And even just kind of getting to point it out to the kids, like, oh, look, our daffodils opened up, or I even got this little like potted plant that has a tulip, a hyacinth, and a daffodil. And so getting to see, like, point out to them, you guys, look, this thing has grown 6 inches in the past week. And like, isn't that amazing? And it's beautiful. And it just feels so life-giving to have it there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Forcing bulbs was on my list. And that's kind of what you're talking about there. That there's something to like being reminded spring is coming, even if creating it in your home in a false environment for the bulb. It spring bulbs are fragrant. They're bright colors, like by God's design, you know,
He
did that on purpose. And it, for me, it just fills me up. It just feels like hope. So forcing bulbs is a big thing I turn to. In January, it's amaryllis. And then in February and March, it's tulips or daffodils or something. Yeah. Hyacinth is a big one because they're so fragrant. And
yeah,
I just love that.
Yeah, it really does something. And, you know, I had not been like the flower gal or the plant gal, but now that I've had it for a couple of years, I'm like, there's no going back. This is my new obsession. I don't even know if I told you this. She drove all the way to the Tri-Cities. She drove 3 hours away on Saturday to go buy a new plant.
Wow.
That she could only get at this nursery down there, which just cracked me up that she made my dad drive her there. Now I should also mention, you know, we know she's a six, and before she took this 3 hour day trip, she did make sure that I knew where the will was and how I would need to divide the life insurance money should anything happen. But, you know, she got that plant. So
what's the plant? What is it?
It's like this little tree thing. I don't even know what it was called, but any of them that she could find here, she said they just looked like spindly and little, where apparently this one that she found in the Tri-Cities, it was at least 10 years old because of the size of the trunk. And she wanted it to like really look big and full. And so
cool. I want to know more.
I know. I'll have to get the more details for you, but she was very excited about it. And yeah, I was like, I'm so glad that you've taken the time to cover all of this with me, because it makes me fairly certain that you will not die. Yeah. So thank you. And she did indeed make it back. So it's great. Oh, okay. So are there any other things that you plan for in the season to keep you going?
Yes.
Okay.
I love going to bed early. And in this time for, I just give myself license to go to bed as early as I want with all the cozy things and to read, because it's already dark, you know, it's already going to be dark. So in the summer, I would feel extremely guilty going to bed when I would really want to go to bed, because, you know, it's light out.
Yeah.
In the winter, oh, I just let myself indulge there. Usually once I put my daughter down, I also go to bed and read, and I might read for 2 hours. It's not like I'm going right to sleep, but that is such an enjoyable thing to me, is to be cozy in bed reading. I love that. So I let myself fully indulge in that. Along with that, I really am on top of my magnesium supplements. Yeah. Magnesium helps my body like relax and sleep more deeply. And so in the summer, I don't know if I'm as on top of it, but in the winter, it's a thing. Like, I'm going to take a bath with magnesium that I put in the water. I'm going to, I'm just doing all the things to promote that sleep. So I really let myself sleep in the winter.
Now, I am curious about this, because I get such pushback from my teenager specifically if I want to try to go to bed earlier, because then he feels like I'm depriving him of time where we could like be hanging out just the two of us.
Oh,
which is sort of a thing. You know, we don't get it.
Do not say that, by the way.
Really?
No.
Well, maybe it's because you have like three, and so they're hanging out with each other. But it is like, if I'm like, I was just going to go like take my bath early or whatever, he'll be like, what? Like, we have our shows, and like, what are you doing? Oh, and like, why?
So sweet. I say seize it, enjoy it.
Well, and I do.
Yeah.
For the most part, we really do. And then I just know that like, I have one night a week where I just have the girls, and we call it girls' night, but they go to bed early. And so that is the night where I can be like, okay, this is my night for like all the self-care, all that I can crawl in bed earlier than any other night. And I just kind of soak that up and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, my boys are definitely not. Once dinner time hits and dishes are, I don't really see them again.
Crazy.
The Wi-Fi shuts off at a certain time every night. So I don't feel like I have to like manage that. Once that's off, they're in bed, you know, they just
see. And our Wi-Fi seems to be regulated by your Wi-Fi because he is gone until your Wi-Fi shuts off and then he shows up.
That's funny. So
it's like, I have until 9:30 and then I know he's going to be at my door. Like, what are we doing, Mom?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yep. Like clockwork every night. So
funny.
Yep. You've helped in that way with him getting off the computer, but then it is like, okay, the responsibility is now transferred into my care. His best friend is gone, so he wants to hang with me, which I love that we have that relationship and everything, but there are some nights where I'm like, oh, I'm so tired, but okay, we'll do it.
Yeah. So. Well, I think you're making the right choice. I mean, that's yeah. sweet. That's really, really sweet.
Yeah. He's cute and fun. So it could be worse, you know, but yeah, that's a thing. Okay. I have to say one thing that I've definitely been like pressing into the cozy with probably more than I should be is my mom got me these sweatpants for Christmas that are by Zella, and I just want to live in them and maybe sort of do. I'm finding it really hard to motivate myself to put on jeans right now. And if I do, it's just because I know I'm going to see hot boyfriend. Like, I don't want to be in these sweatpants again. I've got to like put it on something. But I am like, definitely, there have been more days than I care to admit where after I've run everybody around in the morning, I come back and while I work, I've got on the sweats. They're just like, they are the coziest, softest. They're really something.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I can't recommend these enough, but we'll put them in the show notes because they're just like glorious and super comfy.
Wow. Sold.
Yeah. And then when I pair it with the oversized basketball sweatshirt that I bought for my son's team. And of course, now he's like, I'm never playing basketball again. I'm like, great. That was a good investment on my part. I thought this would last me for 4 years, but I also like accidentally bought the wrong size and it's pretty big, but I don't even care because it's so comfortable that I'm just like, this is my wardrobe now, guys. Yeah. I don't know what happened to the three in my heart, but she's temporarily winter. On vacation.
Winter happens. Yeah. And that's like what I give myself those permissions that I wouldn't any other time of the year during, especially in a January to the end of March, like just get through it well, whatever you need, get through it well.
Yeah.
You know, if you're taking some time off from doing those regular things that you normally have in play and it gives you like a little room to breathe and that feels like wind in your sails, okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. You'll
be back on track. It'll happen.
Yeah. Ladies, I am so excited about one of our newest sponsors of the podcast, Murad. Murad is a skincare line. You know I love me a good skincare line that has clinically proven cruelty-free products that meet the meticulous standards for safety, efficacy, and care you'd expect from a doctor. They were created and founded by Dr. Howard Murad. This skincare line happens to be really well known for their line of acne products, but also their high-performance heroes like Rapid Dark Spot Correcting Serum and their gentle but effective Retinol Youth Renewal Serum. I'm using this whole line currently and absolutely loving it because I feel like it makes me look like a baby, which is exactly what I'm going for. Dr. Murad is a board-certified dermatologist and trained pharmacist who is recognized around the world as a visionary for his unmatched scientific innovations. Also, as an authority in holistic wellness and stress management, can I get an amen? Dr. Murad was the first dermatologist to make the connection between mind, body, health, and skincare. Dr. Murad has always said skincare is health self-care, you know I love that. And to take it a step farther, beyond just their products, they really want to educate people. A true reflection of Dr. Murad's philosophy and lifelong mission to help his patients and consumers live happier, healthier lives, Murad has launched a digital magazine and podcast called Well Connected by Murad, connecting the dots between science and wellness. So there are stories on the skin, the body, the mind, with headlines like Love Yourself and Stay Hydrated, and Frozen Cucumber and Driving Gloves, 7 Korean Mom Skincare Tips, all kinds of really fun things that you're going to find that are going to be really helpful to not only your skin, but your overall health. And their first season of the podcast includes guest appearances from Charlotte Zoller, Dr. Muneeb Shah, and many others. Murad's efficacious skincare products can be found at Sephora, Ulta, and Murad.com, and you can find their digital magazine at wellconnected.murad.com and the podcast, Well Connected by Murad, wherever you listen to podcasts. And I have a special deal just for my listeners. If you go to Murad.com and you use the code LIVEWELL, you can get 20% off your order and free shipping on any order over $60. That's huge! So make sure you head over to Murad.com and use the code LIVEWELL to get 20% off your order and free shipping for any order over $60. And I just want to thank Murad for sponsoring Live Well Anyway. Well, and it's like, I know that you start the, like, the tanning process that we talked about last year in what, March?
End of March. Yeah.
Right. End of March. And see, I started at the beginning of February being like, okay, I'm going to get like in good shape for the summer. Like, I want to feel like better about my body and whatever. And now I'm just kind of realizing like February wasn't the month for that. Like, that could happen later in the spring when maybe I'm going to think about, you know, that tanning process and all of that, but it doesn't need to happen yet. This is the month of like chocolate and yeah.
Well, unless that. Like I do more face masks, I do more deep hydration, like with my
yes,
I do those things, which definitely is like a self-care kind of a
yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't really have time for it or do it as much in the spring or summer, maybe in the fall, but in the winter, I really hit those things hard too. And part of that, because it feels like this kind of indulgent getting you through it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. And one of the things like that has been kind of fun to get me through has been the new skincare that I got, which people have heard me talk about in ads, but that new Murad skincare where it's like, this is going to make me look like a baby. And so I'm going to do all of it. And so that has just been like a little like kick to the system of, okay, this is fun. And I can just like indulge in doing my skincare routine every day. And not that I don't do a skincare routine every day, but this has felt a little bit more like, let's see what happens here. I'm going to change my face.
Yeah. And you are loving it?
I am. I have noticed like a little bit of drying because I really went all in and was like using it a lot. So I have backed off a little bit and combined some other products in with it, just like for hydration and that kind of thing. But so far I'm really liking it. I'm really liking, especially the eye creams. Those are the ones that I feel like I see the biggest difference of, and where I wake up and my eyes aren't like puffy like they normally are and all that kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I think I really am kind of really liking it. So Yeah. That's kind of been fun to play with and see the differences and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. But I did mention chocolate. This has been the month for chocolate. I've talked about this on Instagram, but I found just like my dream chocolate bar. And Amazon, I just clicked over to read the name of it because it's so specific. And Amazon just sent me some very targeted ads about how I can buy these for discount. It's going to be real tough for me to not click on that link of buying these in bulk. But so backstory is like many moons ago when I had normal cable and I was a stay-at-home mom and just had like little kids, a lot of what would get me through the day was the Food Network. Mm-hmm. And it was just playing all the time. And they would always have these shows about sweets and like desserts around the country. And they would talk about different bakeries. And I so specifically remember them talking about Milk Bar. And so they have this thing by Milk Bar called a Milk Bar pie that I have just always thought looked amazing. And apparently you can like order these now and you can even find the recipe online, although it looks very complicated and I would probably have to hire you to make it for me. But it, like, I've always wanted to try something from actual Milk Bar. And then this past fall, I walked into my grocery store and they had products from Milk Bar and I almost fell over dead and I was so excited. So it is the chocolate pretzel truffle crumb cake from Milk Bar. And it is everything that I wanted it to be. It is just so good. And they're incredibly rich. It comes in a little two pack. There's like two little round cake things in there. And I will only like eat one at a time, but they are just, oh my word. They're so good. Cause it's got like the crunch, but then like the chewy softness in the center and all the different flavors. And it's like perfectly balanced and it is a dream. I mean, they are just so good. So I just really haven't been holding myself back from buying those. Every time I go to the store, I grab one. They're not like the cheapest thing on the planet, but I just will grab one little pack and I love them.
Aww. I love that. Yeah. I do have something to tell you about Milk Bar.
All right.
Okay. So this segues a little bit, but another thing that I do in the winter that really helps is I get more focused on whatever hobbies that I have. Like I dig a little deeper. I YouTube, I learn more. Like I encourage my boys to do that in school. Like this is the time to really buckle down. This is the meat of the school year. This is the time of the year where you don't have as many other things going on. The sunshine isn't calling to you.
Yeah.
You know, you can really focus. And so I try to do that too, when it comes to hobbies. And I've been taking some online cookie decorating courses, yeah, which you know about, but you don't know about this. I signed up for Christina Tosi's Milk Bar class. So for your birthday, I will be able to, hopefully, I'll learn it, but I will be able to make you a dessert from Milk Bar, like officially, authentically.
Oh my word.
I know.
I'm so excited.
I know. I knew you'd be really excited. So, but I just think this is the time to really like hone your craft. No matter what it is, you can find it on YouTube. You can learn more. Yeah. You can practice it, a handcraft, or I mean, even if it's like auto mechanic or painting or whatever it is, yeah, accessible to us right now in the digital world we live in. And why not utilize your time well during,
yeah,
older months, and just, it feels so satisfying to work with your hands and do something during this time period.
Yeah.
That's something I push myself to do. There's a lot of indulging and cozy, but then there's also like, okay, if you're going to have those indulgences, let's learn something. Let's push it a little bit.
I love that, because I have been feeling more of this draw to like artistic things and creative things and wanting to do that. And sometimes I just get hung up like, blah, there's so many options, or I don't know what to do or how to take it where I want it. But I love that idea of finding a YouTube channel or finding YouTube videos that kind of like walk you through that process and just kind of dive into it. Or maybe like getting a book that teaches you how to do it and following through that process. I remember watching Jenna Fisher at the beginning of the pandemic getting this book on learning how to bake bread. And she went like systematically through it to learn how to become a really good baker and did that. And so I love that idea and kind of setting that time aside to do that. And I think that's really fun. And then the fact that you are doing something that is directly going to benefit me is just really wonderful.
Oh, well,
I literally, that's cool. Yeah. Well, it's so funny because like most for a, quite a while, I did not let my kids try these little cakes from Milk Bar because I was just like, no, they're mine. Sorry. Yeah. And then I like slowly ended up like, well, I'll give you a bite. I'll let you like try it, but you're not getting one to yourself. And like, and so I realized though last week I'd apparently let all the other kids try except for Roman. But we have to also remember Roman's not been around a lot lately because for like 4 months because of basketball. Right. So now he's suddenly around again. But I was eating one and he was like, what is that? I was like, you know, it's my thing. And he was like, I don't know what that is. I was like, I haven't let you try it yet. Oh, fine. Like here. And he was like, oh, that is good. And then I told him all the backstory, like I just told you. And I was like, and here's the thing. I need Katie to make this for my birthday. And he was like, I'm going to need to start talking to Ben and see what we can arrange to try to get that working for your birthday. I was like, I'm glad you're on it. Thank you for thinking about this in advance. So
yes, I know. Well prepared. So she's a completely different style of baker than I have. And part of it is she's got this sort of like, I mean, she's New York, you know, it's got, she's got like a kind of organic, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be, taste great, but it's going to have eclectic, like it is not necessarily my style, but that's sort of what I want to take. I want to learn from a whole bunch of different styles to really in my own. So she's the most eccentric of all the classes or people that I want to learn from. And it just, it's perfect. I'm really excited to learn her methodology. And, you know, she helps me like free it a little bit. Like, go ahead and add potato chips. It tastes good. Like, don't worry about what it's going to look like if you've got potato chip pieces in it, which would stop me. Like, I think presentation first. So it's good to challenge ourselves.
Yeah.
And she definitely, I mean, she's world renowned. She knows what she's doing. I'm excited to learn how she got there and
the way she combines flavors and ingredients. I mean, I know that when I was looking at the ingredients list for the pie, it was like, oh, there's like corn powder in here. What the heck is corn powder? And apparently like, she developed it. It was like freeze-dried corn that she pulverized. And now you can buy like official Milk Bar corn powder to be able to like make this pie. I mean, just really random stuff that you wouldn't think of, but apparently it all works together to make something magical.
Yeah. I mean, she really figured some things out.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of her success is that she's bold and she has a great palate. She really experiments and she's just built sort of an empire on these kind of funky flavor combinations. And it's really cool. I think it's really neat.
Yeah. Now I'm just waiting. Like every time I go to Target, I'm stalking the ice cream aisle because apparently most Targets around the country, except for ours, carry Milk Bar ice cream. And I'm like, would you guys get it together already? I really need to try this. But I love that their stuff is like making its way into like
way out here
normal stores.
Yeah. That's cool.
Super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on that same sort of vein of learning things though, I love what you were saying about that. But I love, even if it's not necessarily something I'm doing with my hands, like listening to audiobooks is always a part of like my reading repertoire, but I've been listening to a lot more audiobooks that are a little bit more like challenging as far as the content and the depth or like the history and whatnot. And it makes me feel smarter, which I love. And it makes me feel like I can enter conversations and like have something like valuable and intelligent to say.
Yeah.
And so I did that in January, and then I've got a couple of books like on the list trying to wait for from the library. But the one that I listened to in January was The Girls of Atomic City, and it was over 10 hours. Now I did listen to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a commitment.
It was, but I did listen to it. I think I got it up to like 1.3 or 1.4 speed. Like I still wanted, I wanted to speed it up a little, but still have like the depth of what they were saying and not just gloss over things. But it was so interesting, set during World War II, when they created this city in Tennessee to be creating components of the A-bomb. I mean, they had like three different sites around the country, one very close to us, Hanford, and then this one in Tennessee, and then in New Mexico. And so it was just so interesting, or maybe it was Nevada, one of those down there. But so interesting because it was talked about from the perspective of the women, the civilian women who came to work there. And it talked about a whole bunch of different women that this lady had interviewed and what all of their different experiences were like, because they all had different jobs and just they all had very different experiences, but also shared this through line. And they said, you know, the government didn't realize when they went into this that not only were they doing this thing to create this bomb that had never been created before and like doing all of this research and making this thing happen to end the war, but unknowingly they created a social experiment, because women had never been brought in this capacity before, and civilians had never been brought in before. And essentially they created a brand new community for 2 years. And when they first started living there, you know, it was very like ramshackle put together, like these buildings built with asbestos and like craziness that they just didn't know about back then. But like all these dormitories and all this stuff, they created the city. And they said that in the beginning, it was just like round the clock people working. Like you just worked and then you went back to your little dorm or your house or your whatever, and you slept and then you got up and you went to work. And they found that people's like mental health really started to wane, especially the women. And they kind of came in and they brought in psychologists and were like, well, what is going on here? And they said, well, you brought these people out of communities where they had churches and they had bridge club and they had like knitting circles and all of these things that they would do together. And out of the need for secrecy and for people to not share anything that was going on there, because most of the time you didn't even really know what your job was producing. You just knew that you were going there and you were flipping these switches and doing the job, but you didn't know what it was for.
Interesting.
And they couldn't tell anybody else what they were doing. And so they said like they had community before, and they said, women are such like civilizers, and they are so like men, it's much easier for you to send them into battle, and that's just all they do, where women want to come in and create community and beauty and all of that kind of thing. And so they kind of had to let that happen, and how it so changed how everything ran and people had better mental health and all this stuff, because they let those things take place. And you know, there's a whole bunch more, and they go into the science. Wow. And they go into all kinds of different things, but it ended up being so interesting, something I had no idea about. Then the ramifications that happened like after the bombs were dropped and they all realized what they had been a part of, and they didn't know that they had been a part of, and like feeling these mixtures of like pride for helping end the war, but also the horror of like how many people they had contributed to killing. Mm-hmm. And like, so it was just, it was a very, very interesting, well-researched, and had like a narrative line, because it was so based on like all these different people's experiences. It was a very like gratifying book to listen to, because I felt so much smarter when I was done.
I bet you did.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to look that up. What was it called? The Girls of Atomic City?
Yes. The Girls of Atomic City. And the gal who does the reading, I actually had to go look it up. I was like, is this Sarah Paulson? Because she has that same way of speaking that Sarah Paulson has. And it's not Sarah Paulson, but it's like, I could just see Sarah Paulson the whole time that I was listening to it. And so it's an interesting narrator voice. And yeah. I just really enjoyed it.
Okay. It's on my Kindle. Okay.
You guys, there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care. A product that works wonders for curls might make straight hair limp and greasy. I know that my very good friend has thick, luscious locks that just don't seem to ever get dingy. And I have very straight, sleek, thick hair that gets greasy so fast that it drives me crazy, and I just want to be able to get more dates between my shampooing, you know what I mean? But thanks to my personalized pros routine, I can honestly say I've never been more in love with my hair, and I'm finally seeing the results that I want. Pros makes custom hair care that's effective because it's personal. Using natural ingredients with proven results, Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements. First, Pros starts by asking about you as a person with their in-depth consultation. Pros asked me really unexpected things like, where do I live? And what are my eating habits like? And what kind of exercise do I get? Things that you wouldn't normally think would pertain to your hair, but they actually do. And they go in depth to find what your hair actually needs based on your actual lifestyle and where you live. Next, Pros analyzed all my answers and determined what unique blend of ingredients should be in every product of my custom routine. Together, Pros got all my hair goals covered. I am loving using their scalp mask before I get into the shower. I feel like it really helps me to get in there and get that greasiness completely gone. I love their shampoo. It leaves my hair still feeling hydrated, but really, really clean. And then using their spray-in leave-in conditioner after my shower just helps me to feel like everything is super hydrated and sleek and not at all tangly. I love this system, and I'm really enjoying using their dry shampoo for those in-between days that I go between washes. It's helping me to just extend things a little bit farther. And then to top it all off, as a carbon neutral certified B Corp, Pros is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. And if you're not 100% positive, Pros is the best hair care you've had. They will take the products back, no questions asked. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/livewell. That's PROSE.com/livewell for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off. And then on like the totally opposite spectrum of that, my next audiobook that I've been listening to has been Martin Short's memoir. So shifting gears, his memoir is called I Must Say, and I think it was written about 8 years ago. But one, he's just fun to listen to, and it really takes you all the way from his childhood into how he became an actor and like all of his friends that are actors. And I don't know that I have listened to another celebrity memoir that name drops as much as he does. And it's not in like a, oh, hey, I was hanging out with Tom Hanks kind of way. It's like, these are just his legit friends. And so as he's talking about it, he'll have like a whole chapter on like how he and Steve Martin and Tom Hanks like have a buddy sleepover poker party every time they have to get colonoscopies. And then they go and get their colonoscopies at the same clinic at the same time and like then go have drinks afterward. Like, it's so random and funny and interesting for him to be like, oh yeah, back in the day when me and Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara and like, you know, it's just like he's legitimately friends with these people. He hangs out with these people, and the way he talks about it like humanizes them. I think it's so easy for us to be like, oh, movie stars, and they live totally different lives than we do, and it's not normal. And it's like, but there are certain things that are normal. And when he runs into Tom Hanks at Walgreens, because Tom Hanks is in the stationery aisle looking at pens and post-it notes, because apparently he has an obsession with all things having to do with paper, it's just like this little niche knowledge you would never know about Tom Hanks. And I'm really enjoying it. It's so funny and gives me like a different perspective on all of like sort of that generation of actors in Hollywood. And it's just been a really fun listen. Yeah, so that's been enjoyable.
That's cool.
Yeah, have you been reading or listening or watching anything lately that's getting you through?
Well, I just finished reading that love lettering book that you recommended a while ago. And I really enjoyed it. That was super fun.
Yay.
You know, predictable in
yes.
romance
yeah.
novels are, but really just sweet and had a little more depth than a lot of than it could have. And yeah. it gave me a hunger to really get better at like calligraphy and
yeah.
And lettering itself, the way she talks about this, I thought this was really unique. She would see words, like somebody would say yes. something or a feeling, and she would see the word in a specific font kind of play out. And I loved the visual representation of that, that
yeah.
her craft, her art was something that she could like it. She could identify in the world. She could actually see yeah. it, see things that other people weren't seeing, which to me is, this is her gift. And this is kind of how, you know, you're operating in your gift, or you've got that flood of energy or feeling, or you can see it, or, you know,
yeah.
you have these ideas that come. It's such a fun energy, and it was fun to visit hers. Like that's
yeah.
not mine, but I respect it and I appreciate it. And it was really fun. So I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah. And I thought that for it being like a, you know, romance novel and all that, it felt like she'd really done her research into like the calligraphy and stationery world. Like you felt mm-hmm. like she really knew what she was talking about. And there was so much time in that book spent on talking about the craft.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just about the love story. Like she really talked about like that she would create these planners for clients and how she would map them out and she would write them and like, and you know, being in like the planner world. And I took calligraphy in high school and like, that's always been a draw for me, is like how the way things are lettered and whatnot. And so it was so fun to have that be like such a part of it. Even when she's talking about like doing a mural in these people's house, and like, there was a lot of the book talking about the craft, which I thought was really fun.
I did too. And it's not a craft I'm familiar with, but it wasn't off-putting.
Yeah.
When she said sans serif, and I was like, got to look it up. I don't know what it is,
yeah.
but I know, you know, and then yeah. you have such a different visual for this person because he speaks in sans serif and you're like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
And then you see the font and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Like, yeah. it was fun.
Yeah. I thought it was like well done and a little bit deeper with like more nuance and stuff than sometimes those books have. Like if they're going to talk about a profession that somebody has, I want them to be like really knowledgeable
yeah.
about the profession. I think that's something that I really loved about The Royal We, is it felt like you were getting like this insider information into how the royal family would work in so many regards. And whether it was exactly accurate or not, it felt like it was. Like it really felt like you were getting this like really truly behind the scenes look into that life. And I love when they have done that sort of like niche research.
Yeah,
yeah. I do too.
It just, it makes your time spent in the book like you're learning something.
Yes.
You're not just wasting time, you're learning something. And I want it to be subtle. I don't want to be hit over the head with it at night. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm taking a class, or that's for
early yeah.
in the day. But for enjoyable reading, it is nice to walk away feeling like you have a new respect for something, or you learned a little something, or you were
yeah you're
thinking about it, you know. I think
yes.
that's the sign of a good book, where if you never reflect on it at all, like, oh, this literally was a waste of time.
Yes.
My time here.
Yeah, exactly. And when you can walk away, like you said, having learned something, but you didn't have to read like a nonfiction instructional book about it, which I probably wouldn't do, you know. It's, I like feeling like, oh, okay, I know something more about that now. And that's kind of fun.
Yep. I also read American Dirt by Janine Cummings. And that was an excellent book, very well written. And one of those books that you kind of can't put down, stay the point reading it. I mean, she and her son are in peril in Mexico and they have to get to the United States. So it's the whole story of how they do that.
Oh, wow.
Escaping a drug lord who's kind of hunting for them. And so it's intense, but it's very well written. Again, really well researched, and gives you a new appreciation for illegal immigrants and the United States itself and the beacon that it is to people all around the world. I thought it was a great book, and it read really fast.
Oh,
and fun. I read The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. And that was a fun one. A little bit of a departure from what I normally read. It's not a romance. It's not it, but it was good. And the premise of it is that this girl, sadly, she wants to commit suicide, and she's in this interim place in her mind that her mind sets it up as a library, and she can open any book and go back through her life and relive a regret, or if she had done something a little bit differently, maybe her life would be ending up differently. So I mean, it's that's the premise, but it also leans heavily into quantum physics and string theory. So I really appreciated that. That's something I studied in college, physics for a while, and I loved all of that.
Crazy.
So I really appreciated that they made it credible, even though it's a leap.
Yeah.
There actually was some depth to it. And so it's a good book in that way. It's not just lightweight. It really does kind of get into string theory, which is not an easy thing to tackle for just a light reading.
No.
They made it accessible and built this story around it, and you really do care about this character and kind of her life. And so that was a good one, but different, very different from
anything
I've read lately, but I'd recommend it.
Yeah. Well, you recommend it. I mean, you kind of lost me at string theory, but you know,
well, I think that's what most people do. Yeah. Think string theory, like you hear it and you're like, well, I don't really know what that is and what, you know, but in the book, you do end up with an understanding of string theory.
Interesting.
Yeah, and kind of alternate realities that there could be, which is like what Marvel is based on.
Yeah, you
know, like Strange. It's got that bent, but it makes it credible.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much, but I mean, it's all in the realm of her mind. Sort of like if someone's in a coma, you know, you don't know what is or is how close the veil is to you know, death and life. And so it makes it credible in that way.
Interesting.
Explore some of these, the bigger concept of it. And it was fun. I found that it to be really fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good. One other book that I read and really enjoyed was a Beth O'Leary book, which I read The Flat Share last year and loved it. And it had like just unexpected depth to it that I wasn't anticipating, and things that hit like really close to home. And then I read The Switch, and it was the same kind of thing where there ends up being, you know, love story components to it and that sort of thing, but that's not the writing drive, which I kind of appreciated. And then she hits on some of the realities, like in this particular book, in The Flat Share, it was like PTSD from a relationship, which was like, oh, whoa, wasn't expecting that. Okay. And then in The Switch, it's the gal's sister died. Mm-hmm. And the, like a year later, like dealing with the emotions of that and working through that and how different members of her family are working through that. And, you know, it doesn't sound lighthearted, but it was a really like sweet, fun book, and how sometimes you kind of have to like step away from your own life to get some perspective on things, because this gal and her grandmother kind of like switch lives. They switch town, like the grandmother goes and lives in her apartment with her roommates in London, and she goes to live in her grandmother's little house in this teeny tiny little town. And they switch cell phones, like they switch computers, they switch everything to try to just like have a different experience and see where it takes them for 6 weeks.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was really fun and interesting to see like how they had so much character development over that time. And yeah, I ended up just like really enjoying it. And it makes me hungry to read more Beth O'Leary for sure.
That is cool. Now, how do you get your recommendations? Like when you finish a book, how do you figure out what you're reading or listening to next?
Well, I have such a ridiculous library from on my Kindle from the Modern Mrs. Darcy, like daily email that says like, these are good ones. And I try to be select, but I still have like such a ridiculous number of books on there. Sometimes it's based on her recommendation. Sometimes it's just like, oh, I think this looks interesting. Or if it's a author that I've read before, like this year, I kind of went back through all of those books that I have on my Kindle. And I said, okay, these are the ones that I already own that I'm really interested in. And then a few others that I don't have yet, but I think look good. And I decided this year, you know, I wanted to dive back more into like some historic fiction. So I'm bringing in some more World War II reads, and I really like Susan Meisner's work. And so I have a whole bunch of her books, you know, on the list. I'm reading one right now that kind of took me a little while to get into, but now that I'm into it, I'm really enjoying it. And it's about, it Stars Over Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I read that one. That's a really good one with the, isn't that the 20s and the
well, it's the 30s. It's 39, The Making of Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a mystery to it with the hat. And I really enjoyed that one. I want to say I read it like a year ago. Something about this time period too, like you're saying World War II, it's a draw. Like it's the heavier emotion. It's like, I'm settled in, I can handle it.
Yeah.
And it's the spring. I'm like, no, it's been too dark. I've got
here. Yeah.
Like I can't just live there all the time, but
there's
something about the moodiness and the deeper feelings of the winter too, that I'm more open to the World War II or World War One or harder.
Yeah.
Harder time periods.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling that too. And then like balancing it out with some Martin Short, but then, you know, doing some of that harder reading that I think I've been largely avoiding for the last couple of years, but sort of feel a little bit more ready to take back on.
Yeah.
And so that's good.
Yeah. Wait, we had a lot to say about reading. I didn't.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. We really did. And there's like more things that I had on my list to talk about, but I think that we've run out of time. Like we did a good job. We were like, well, let's hope we have things to talk about. And then look at us go.
Yeah. We didn't prep or give each other like a heads up really
about
things we were going to talk about. So that was pretty authentic, a conversation.
Yep.
We were able to
where our minds go. Well, I hope that everybody had fun with that. I certainly did.
Yeah.
And thanks for hanging out with me. We'll have to finish the rest of the list that I had written down in another episode.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about nail polish. All right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's coming. That'll be for spring. When you finally get there. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on again, Katie.
Anytime.
All right. Go enjoy your slippers and socks.
Everybody knows.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies, that's it for this week's episode. As always, you can find all the show notes for this episode by just swiping up on whatever app you are listening to the show on, or heading over to my website, mackenziekappa.com, and that's where you can find links to blog posts and the podcast and the newsletter and all of the things all condensed into one place. I'm currently working on revamping a favorites page, so when you guys are always asking me, like, where do I find your link and your discount for Thrive or for Sambucol or Rod or, you know, whatever it is, Rasa, those things are all going to very soon be in one central place on the website at mackenziekappa.com. You'll be able to just click on favorites and find everything that you are looking for right there. But also, as always, anything that we have mentioned in this episode is in the show notes for this episode to make it simple as well, including everything for our sponsors and all of that good stuff. And just remember, anytime that you shop through our sponsors, through our affiliate links, whenever you go to mackenziekappa.com/Amazon and do your Amazon shopping there, it just helps kick back a little bit more more support to me, to the podcast, to help keep things running. And I so, so appreciate when you do something that might seem very simple to you, but makes a really big difference on this end. So thank you so much to those of you who shop through those links. It helps our sponsors to know that their ads are working and for them to keep coming back and for us to keep having the revenue to pay for things like my awesome producer, Kiel, and all of that kind of thing. So thank you so, so much to those of you who use those affiliate and sponsorship links. It makes a really big difference. Thank you. All right, you guys, until next week when we'll be back in a solo show with me where we're talking all about kind of reigniting your creativity. This has been a goal for me in 2022 to get those creative vibes rolling again. I used to do so many creative things and that has really been stunted in the past couple of years, but I am reigniting that this year and I want to share with you what I'm doing and some ideas for what you can maybe do. All right, until then, go be bold and gracious.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.